Good afternoon. My name is Susan Muirhead, and today I'll be reading part one of the News Gazette, dated for this date, Tuesday, July 14th, 2026. Let's start off with today's top stories. The first headline reads, Village of Muhammad, liquor license proposed to allow gas station gaming. Goal to help them stay competitive with the truck stops. This article was written by Jana Wiersema, who can be reached by email at jwiersema@newsgazette.com. This article is based out of Muhammad. A liquor license proposal aims to enable Muhammad gas stations to sell beer and wine for consumption on site, so that such establishments can meet the state's criteria to get video gaming licenses. It's not a unique thing, said Village Administrator Patrick Brown. I would say a lot of communities around Illinois allow gas stations to have gaming license, and they basically give them a pouring style license in those gas stations. And the reason we are looking at this is we have two gas stations that are, under the state classification, considered a travel center slash truck stop. Under the state's Video Gaming Act, video gaming licenses are only available to establishments where liquor is served for consumption on premises, fraternal organizations, and veterans organizations, which, Brown noted, often have a bar on the premises, and truck stops. Brown said that the Circle K on Prairie View Road is able to offer video gaming due to being classified as a truck stop. And the nearby Haymakers is in the process of getting its state license under the same provision. However, other gas stations in town do not meet the criteria to be considered truck stops, and some have told the Village that they want to be on an equal playing field with their competitors, Brown told the News Gazette. To help address the matter, Village staff are proposing to create a new Class PC liquor license to allow for packaged liquor with on-premises consumption, Brown wrote in a report to the board. The license would specifically apply to a gas station convenience store and allow sales of packaged liquor for off-premises consumption, along with sales of beer and wine only for consumption on the premises. According to Brown, this license would be limited to businesses that also want to pursue a video gaming license. Up to four PC liquor licenses would be authorized. The proposed license regulations stipulate that the business must derive over 50% of its gross sales from selling gas, and that total gross revenues from video gaming must not exceed 25% of the business's total gross revenues in a calendar year. Additionally, revenue from sales of alcohol for consumption on the premises must stay under the 25% mark, and no more than one-third of the business's square footage may be allocated to the sale of alcoholic beverages. Furthermore, the serving of beer and wine would be restricted to a specific room or areas that are sufficiently separated from the remainder of the licensed premises by walls or other physical barriers with a door, such that the designated area cannot be viewed from the remainder of the licensed premises, and only persons over the age of 21 may be admitted to the area. To allow gaming in the facilities, they have to have a separate room, Brown said. When asked about the pros and cons of creating the new license, he said the change would hopefully help local businesses stay competitive. He pointed out that when the Village decided to lift its prohibition on alcohol sales in 2007, one of the main reasons was that the community wanted to be competitive with the unincorporated areas in Muhammad that were already selling liquor. A similar argument factored into the Village's 2015 decision to end its ban on video gaming. We allowed video gaming similar to what we did with alcohol just to give those businesses more opportunity for success, Brown said. As for cons, he acknowledged that video gaming can be addictive. When asked about potential concerns related to drinking and driving, Brown said that one could make the same argument about other establishments that offer video gaming due to the state's requirements. He also noted that the proposed license would not apply to liquor stores or open the door to gaming parlors. We're not into video gaming from a revenue standpoint, he said. If we wanted the revenue, then we would allow gaming parlors, and we don't do that. The one thing that we don't want is gaming parlors, and we've said that from day one. So we want to make sure, when we make rule changes, that our alcohol rules are such that you can't have just gaming only for a business. The Village Board will discuss the proposed amendments to the Village's liquor and video gaming codes at its study session tonight. No final action will be taken at the meeting. The changes include adding the proposed PC license to the list of liquor licenses that make a business eligible to seek a local video gaming license. According to state records, the list of Mahomet businesses with video gaming licenses includes Champaign County Brewing Company, Lake of the Woods Bar and Liquor, Circle K, South Paul Billiards, and Project 47 Smokehouse. The five establishments operate a total of 24 terminals that generated a net income of about $136,000 in the month of May, with almost $533,000 put into terminals and roughly $397,000 paid out to customers. Video gaming in Mahomet generated about $47,700 in tax revenue in May. The village's share was approximately $6,800. From May 2025 to May 2026, Mahomet Video Gaming generated nearly $1.9 million in net terminal income, with about $7.36 million paid into Mahomet Video Gaming terminals and $5.46 million paid out to customers. Video gaming in Mahomet generated about $663,000 in tax revenue over the 12-month period, with over $90,000 going to the village. On the air, Miss Monday's episode of News Gazette Radio, powered by GTP's insurance. Head to newsgazette.com/podcasts to hear from Champaign West Rotary's Shauna Benton, Tumble Inn's Tobin Hurges, the Champaign County Forest Preserve's Lori Pearson, and our own Jim Dye. Next up, an opinion article from Jim Dye. That's J-I-M, last name, or Day, D-E-Y, but I think it's pronounced Dye. Indictment, just latest Ammons controversy. Since she entered public life years ago, Urbana State Representative Carol Ammons has earned a reputation as a corner cutter who defies convention. She ran for the Urbana School Board while a resident of Rantoul. She claimed questionable academic credentials when first running for the Illinois House in 2014. Her closest brush with disaster came in connection with the alleged theft of a purse that prosecutors generously decided not to pursue. But that's peanuts compared to her latest challenge, a federal indictment that alleges in part that she illegally funneled money from campaign funds and state grants to herself and her daughter. If that's not bad enough, her husband, Champaign County Clerk and Recorder Aaron Ammons, is ensnared in the case for allegedly trying to obstruct the federal investigation of his wife. Meanwhile, her daughter, Tatiana, is facing criminal charges for allegedly illegally accepting unemployment compensation while simultaneously being paid for work stemming from state grants arranged by her mother. Once the first family of Champaign County politics, the Ammons family, rightly or wrongly, has morphed into the first family of federal court. Fallout from the July indictment was immediate. Democratic House Speaker Chris Welch, who disciplined Ammons in May 2021 for misconduct, barred her from any and all association with House Democrats, including caucus and committee meetings. Owing to the indictment's references to Ammons' alleged mishandling of state grant funds, Welch ordered a review of the new state budget to determine whether any funds need to be paused or reconsidered. Capital News Illinois reported the budget for the 2026-27 fiscal year, which began July 1st, includes a quote-unquote, $750,000 reappropriation to the Independent Media Center in Urbana for violence prevention services and operational expenses, that may be flagged by Welsh as a consequence of the indictment. The IMC was one of three local grant recipients allegedly involved in the financial misconduct. In addition to Welsh's decision to suspend Ammons' role in the Democratic Party, there were predictable calls for husband and wife to resign their public offices, she in the Illinois House and he as Champaign County clerk and recorder. But no one should be surprised that, as their subsequent statements indicated, they have no intention to either resign or abandon their re-election efforts. She's running unopposed for re-election to the House, and he is seeking his third term as clerk. Their combined salaries easily exceed $200,000. Given Champaign County's solid Democratic leanings, it would be no surprise if both are re-elected in November. But winning in November is a totally different challenge than winning in federal court, where prosecutors have a virtually unblemished record in either winning a trial or securing guilty pleas. Both Ammons's dismissed those possibilities. Representative Ammons said she has complete confidence that the facts will demonstrate my innocence, quote unquote. Clerk Ammons expressed the same view when he said he is confident that the facts will prove my innocence. But facts can be stubborn things, and there appears to be a clear paper trail that shows where money went and to whom it was paid. For example, there are the $600 monthly payments from Representative Ammons' House campaign funds to her daughter that the indictment alleges were not in proportion to services actually rendered. State filings report that some of the payments were characterized as compensation for campaign staff work during non-election years or at times when Representative Ammons was running without opposition. Other alleged payments that were falsely classified as mileage reimbursements went directly to Representative Ammons. And there's one photograph of the Ammons, Carol and Aaron, kind of smiling for the camera. They have orange-ish shirts on, and she's wearing an I voted pin. The caption reads, Aaron and Carol Ammons after her win in the 2014 Democratic primary. That photo's provided by the News Gazette. Jim Dye is a staff writer for the News Gazette. He can be reached by email at jdey@newsgazette.com. The next headline reads, Champaign County Court. Wrong way driver admits to reckless homicide. Belleville man was killed in March of 2025 in an accident on I-57. This article is written by Luke Taylor and is based out of Urbana. Luke can be reached by email at ltaylor@newsgazette.com. An Illinois man pleaded guilty Monday to reckless homicide in a crash that led to a death outside Tolono last year. Trevor Johnson, 31, of Great Lakes, was charged with one count of reckless homicide in connection with an accident in which his car collided with another around milepost 2:30 on Interstate 57 in Tolono at around 1:37 p.m. March 30, 2025. According to state police, Johnson was traveling southbound, then amid inclement weather. Troubled by the conditions, he apparently turned around and began driving north while remaining in the southbound lanes. Johnson's vehicle collided with that of 53-year-old Robert Chouinard of Belleville. Assistant State's Attorney N.G. Lin said that the victim was found to have suffered multiple traumatic injuries, including fractures to his spine, sternum, ribs, pelvis, and face, along with internal injuries to his organs and quote-unquote much more. Lin said GPS data from Johnson's vehicle showed that while he was traveling northbound, there was a median crossover where he could have safely moved over to the proper lanes. Vehicle data also showed that he did not engage the brakes until approximately 1 second before the crash. Johnson was initially cited for driving the wrong way on a divided highway and driving too fast for conditions. The felony charge of reckless homicide with a motor vehicle was added later. He had been scheduled for a trial to begin Monday morning before opting to take a plea instead. He is scheduled to return to court on October 6 for a sentence hearing. The next headline reads, actually, it's two large colorful photographs front and center of the paper, and the caption reads, "Linking up for charity." One photo is of a large room, sunny. There's a presentation in the front, lots of people at chairs. The caption reads, "University of Illinois men's basketball head coach Brad Underwood updates a gathering of golfers and Illini fans on the status of his 2026-27 team Monday during the 37th annual Kendall Gill Golf Outing at the U of I Orange and Blue Golf Courses in Savoy. The event benefits Cunningham Children's Home and at Wright." So there's another, an African-American man. He's got his arm on a Caucasian man's shoulder. The caption reads, "Former Illini and professional basketball star Kendall Gill jokes with golfers before speaking at Monday's outing." There's more in sports. These photos are taken by Rob Lacates for the News Gazette. Next up, top of the morning. Something to get you going today, courtesy of Vice President Jim Rosso. Questions, comments, suggestions for Top of the Morning, you can always reach out to Jim at his email address, which is jrossow@newsgazette.com. To complement Meadowbrook Park's beauty, quote-unquote beauty, Andy White delivered grace, quote-unquote, to Mattis Park on Friday. White's work caught our eye when it passed by the News Gazette's front door en route to its spot on the north end of the Champaign Park. Grace is made of scrap metal, lawn furniture, part of a scooter, pieces of oven grills, engine parts, just junk, said White, an anthropological archaeologist at the University of Illinois, rusty and chewed up and nasty. The Triceratops is a companion piece to Beauty and part of 40 North's Great Outdoors program that continues to spruce up parks in CU. White is one of 12 artists selected to take part. Drawn to art about 12 years ago, I needed something else to do with my mind, quote unquote. White has shown a knack for knocking it out of the park. And his next impressive project, sculptures for Urbana's two new fire stations. Carting Grace around in the bed of his pickup truck, it's more than 7 feet long and 5 feet high, was a pick-me-up for White. It certainly grabbed our attention. When I see other people look at it for the first time and point to it, that's nice, he said. Whether they love it or they don't, you feel like you're adding something. And there's two photos that accompany this article. One is of a man standing next to a sculpture. Andy White instills grace at Mattis Park in Champaign. And you can see also in another photo, the sculpture with the street sign. One of them is Ray, I think it's Ray Street, featured in the photo as well. Congratulations to him. I'll have to go and take a look. Next up, history, area history. In 1926, Rantoul was a brief stop on the long path of adventurers Linton, Wells, and Edward Evans, who, after 28 days of traveling, are close to setting a new speed record for a trip around the world. From Chanute Field, the two flew to Cleveland, where they set out in a new plane for New York, their final destination. Barring any accident, they should break the 35-day record set by John H. Mears, in 1913. Upon arrival, Wells and Evans will have traveled 20,100 miles by ship, train, auto, and airplane. Mears' trip did not include aircraft. In 1976, for the fourth time in as many years, Governor Daniel Walker has reduced University of Illinois funding by a mandatory veto as part of a sweeping series of cuts. Walker sliced $5.8 million from the $251 million approved for the university by the Illinois General Assembly. The move trimmed the appropriation to roughly the level the governor requested in his March budget. In 2011, the city should be in full stink mode by Friday at the latest. Urbana is the adopted home of a Sumatran plant that's about to go ripe, really ripe, Though it has declared itself nuclear-free, Urbana apparently has no policy on plants that smell like rotting meat. The so-called corpse flower isn't quite there yet. On Wednesday, you could smell something, but it wasn't corpse, maybe old bachelor uncle. And in international history, today's highlight, on July 14th, 1789, in an event symbolizing the start of the French Revolution, citizens of Paris stormed the Bastille prison and released the 7 prisoners held there. Also on this date, in 1798, Congress passed the Sedition Act, making it a federal crime to publish false, scandalous, or malicious writing about the United States government. The next headline reads, from Capital News, Illinois, Pritzker signs new laws on birth control, AI regulations, and play-based learning. This article is written by Ben Zielinski and is based out of Springfield. You can reach Capital News through their email address at news@capitalnewsillinois.com. Governor J.B. Pritzker signed 31 new laws on Friday as he continues evaluating measures passed in the spring session, including bills banning certain ingredients from cosmetics and correcting the state's property tax laws. Here we go. Here's kind of a list. Access to birth control. Senate Bill 3341 allows minors to receive birth control without permission from their parents or another adult. During debate on the bill in the Senate, Republicans objected and said it cuts parents out of important decisions concerning their children. They also worried minors won't fully understand complications from birth control. Cosmetic ingredients. House Bill 3409 bans manufacturing and selling cosmetic products with 11 different ingredients that are considered harmful substances or forever chemicals. The law specifically bans manufacturers from intentionally including those ingredients in their products. For too long, the cosmetics industry has operated without the kind of oversight we apply to food, medicine, and drinking water, bill sponsor Senator Maddie Hunter, a Democrat from Chicago, said in a statement. Many of the ingredients are already banned in cosmetics sold in the European Union. Illinois' law takes effect in July 2028, but it does not outline penalties for manufacturers and sellers that fail to comply. Property taxes. House Bill 4537 brings Illinois into compliance with the 2023 Supreme Court decision, Tyler versus Hennepin County, that regulates property tax debt sales. Now, if a homeowner has their property seized and sold for failing to pay debt, they will receive any surplus funds left over from the auction. Illinois is the last state to comply with the 2023 Supreme Court decision, which found that selling a property over unpaid debt without returning surplus to the owner was a violation of the property owner's rights. And teacher evaluations. Senate Bill 2909 prohibits school administrators from using artificial intelligence to evaluate teachers. Likewise, teachers also cannot use AI to meet performance requirements. The bill does not prohibit teachers or school administrators from using AI in other forms of work, however. I'm in favor of exploring AI as a tool for basic organization and streamlining simple aspects of modern work. But this technology is not capable of effectively carrying out judgment-based tasks. This complex, bill sponsor Representative Mary Beth Canty, Democrat from Arlington Heights, said in a statement. Play-based learning. House Bill 4577 implements a definition of play-based learning into state law for kindergarten classes. The concept was already required for kindergarten classes. The new law just made it more specific. It describes teacher-initiated play as teacher-led activities that are aligned to learning goals or standards, and student-initiated play as activities chosen by the child to build, pretend, create, move, or explore in an environment intentionally curated by a teacher to align with learning goals or standards. That concludes the Capital News coverage for this article. The next headline reads, Fuel Report. Gas prices climb as turmoil roils market. This article is written by Luke Taylor, who can be reached by email at ltaylor@newsgazette.com. This article is based out of Champaign. Gas prices have shot up around Champaign in the last week, with an average increase of 27.2 cents, placing them significantly higher than cost at this time last year. On a brighter note, the current average of $3.94 per gallon is still 32 cents lower than just last month, according to Gas Buddy's survey of 79 gas stations in Champaign. Prior to this week, national averages had been on the decline for 8 weeks. The turnaround comes as oil prices have surged following the collapse of the ceasefire between the U.S. and Iran and the start of new attacks, with oil jumping another 4% in Sunday evening trading, an ominous sign that could bring additional gas and diesel price increases in the week ahead, said Gas Buddy's head of petroleum analysis, Patrick DeHaan. While the pace of increases doesn't yet appear likely to match what motorists experienced in March and April, fresh Ukrainian attacks on additional Russian refineries will only add to the pressure, keeping supplies of refined products tight, even as the situation remains fluid. The cheapest gas in Champaign County right now requires a Sam's Club membership, with the Champaign location offering a price of $3.69 for regular gas. Without that, the Champaign's Meijer, Phillips 66, and Quick Trip locations are the best option, running at $3.79 per gallon. In Douglas County, head to the Fuel Mart in Tuscola for that same price. Sibley's Zeal Mart is the cheapest choice in Ford County at $3.89 per gallon, with Gibson City gas stations sitting at around $3.98 to $3.99. If you're in Piatt County, a trip to Cerro Gordo might be worth it for gas at $3.76 per gallon at Casey's, with most other stations in the county sitting around $3.94. Similarly, Hoopston's Marathon station offers the best price for Vermilion County, likewise at $3.76 per gallon. Next up, our weather forecast over the next few days. Let's see what it's going to be. Ooh, today, hot, 90 degrees, sunny, northeast winds around 5 miles per hour, heat index values up to 100. Overnight, mostly clear, patchy fog, light and variable winds. Wednesday, the high will be 92, the low is 70. Patchy fog in the morning, sunny, west winds around 5 miles per hour, heat index values up to 103. That's tomorrow. Overnight, mostly clear. Thursday, the high will be 92, the low is 72, mostly sunny. Friday, the high will be 92, the low will be 72, sunny, 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. The heat index values will be again up to 100. And by Saturday, the high again will be 92, the low is 73, sunny, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Heat index values up to 100. So keep cool. It will be hot this week, with slight chance of rain at the end of the week. I'm Susan Muirhead, and this has been part one of the News Gazette, dated for this date, Tuesday, July 14th, 2026. I'll be back to read part two of the News Gazette with you shortly, so please stay with me. It's always a pleasure to read with you. Thanks for listening, and I hope you have a wonderful day.